Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we go around the NFL here on a Football Friday here. And of course, question of the day answer still coming in. Someone mentioned Greg Popovich, sure, especially if you very much despise the Spurs. And then this one is fair, and I don't know how we didn't get to it earlier. Just the whole cheating scandal with the Astros. Definitely some hypocrisy there.
That's a good one, yeah.
Definitely some there. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't have to dive into it. You get it.
What about the...
All right, here we go with a little bit of Thursday night football. And, of course, yesterday I was like, I don't know how much we'll talk about this one. I thought there were some things to talk about here. A 27-14 victory for the Patriots. But it didn't look as easy as
didn't
maybe
start.
The score.
At it least was it closer than I thought.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't over by halftime.
No, yeah. It wasn't. And, of course, that's what we figured out. As we were going on, we're like, nah, this is probably going to be one of those games where it's like a 7-point game. And it was just that. 14-7 at the half. It felt like the Jets did some really interesting things. They went fully into the high school offense of just run the football, run the quarterback, try and see if you can make it tough for the Patriots. And they did for a little while, but of course, the tremendous talent of the Patriots ultimately wins out in this one.
It was Drake May show. We're looking at some highlights right now in studio. Drake May is just, I mean, he's clearly an MVP candidate. I still would put Matt Stafford above him. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor, but I think he's right there with him.
Yeah, I think he's, last time I checked, he's an odds on, or he's tied with best odds for MVP with Matthew Stafford, as you mentioned. And the thing that you just can't shake, no matter how you cut it, the Patriots' development and growth, as they are a league-leading 9-2 right now, is largely behind Drake May being absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. 25-34, 281, and a touchdown in this game. But I guess the other name that you got to give a lot of credit to, Travion Henderson, man.
Oh, boy, that was something.
Like, Ramondre Stevenson not there has allowed him to absolutely flourish in this role. 62 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then also 1 in the air. He looks really good. There's a lot of young talent that they have there. And I guess outside of the young talent, Stephon Diggs looked really good in this one.
Well, we mentioned this yesterday, and Stephon Diggs, you talk about just a complete is it a turnaround, rebirth, whatever it is? He is a game-changing franchise receiver for them right now.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that last year.
Yeah, it's definitely a comeback story for him.
Yeah.
One of the things that is also worth noting, you did see who scored a touchdown in this game, right?
For?
John Mechie.
John Mechie III.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Salute to John Mechie. Finding somewhere to get himself a little bit of love. I don't know what this ultimately does for him, but hopefully he can have a little bit of a little bit of staying power in this league.
He had a couple passes or a couple catches.
Right, 3 receptions, in fact, for 45 yards, including the touchdown pass. For him, I think I can't speak for everybody, but I feel like the majority of folks have no ill will towards Mechie.
None at all.
Nah.
None at all.
Seeing him find a little bit of success is cool. I will say, when it comes to this Jets team, the defense actually was playing pretty well against the Patriots in this thing.
This looks like a team that is kind of what I was hoping for, because I'm a big Aaron Glenn fan. That's just coming along at a slow pace. Aaron Glenn is going to be there. He's not going to be one of those guys that's just done, even though they started so badly. I think people are starting to see sort of the development of the, whatever you want to call it, the culture, the way they're doing things, et cetera. No, I think the Jets, I'm not going to say they're on to something.
No, I would. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah,
in fact.
You can start to see where the plan is kind of taking shape.
They went with the level of desperation. The Jets are usually heavy in man coverage, and obviously they just traded Sauce Gardner, right. So I wonder if this changes this some. They only played 3 snaps in man coverage. So they came out and they flipped the script entirely. So I think that probably helped keep the game close. What was on tape was not what the Patriots came out and saw, but they quickly adjusted and were able to beat up the Jets there. So, yeah.
Quick side note before we move on. I like those uniforms the Patriots wore better than any alternate uniform I've seen.
Really?
They were sweet.
Were they? They looked like the Patriots equipment manager
faded jerseys. Those are some sharp.
Ain't no, them gray joints?
Yeah, it's grayish blue. I don't know what the color is.
It was
called.
Like a cool gray, maybe a French gray, whatever.
Yeah, I thought they were sharp, man.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. It looked like they took the blue jerseys and they just washed them a million times.
I liked it a lot.
They look better than the Buffalo Bills alternates.
Yes.
I ain't like the Buffalo Bills alternate. Theirs were kind of similar to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
From the 830, May is better than Stroud at this point. How do you take that comment?
Hell, I was about to say. Absolutely. I was about to say he looked better than Herbert to me.
the way he moves around in the pocket is exactly why NFL general managers love those and obviously he can run, but those quarterbacks that are sort of like classic pocket quarterback. He just knows how to manipulate the pocket, that whatever it is, the vision he has, the way he feels his way around the pocket. It looks like big time, next level.
I mean, there's clearly a lot of confidence in his game right now, and there should be. He looks really, I mean, hell, I think it might have been Patriots Texans. Mm-hmm. Was the first game of his career where we go, oh, they might have something here.
Yeah, you're right.
Remember last year?
It was I don't think that game was close.
No, it wasn't. I mean,
our takeaway was Drake May is there. That's the quarterback right there.
And he's continued to build upon that. So it looks like I don't feel any qualms in saying I could easily see, very, very easily see the Patriots having that first round bye. They look like they could do something serious.
I guess it's kind of good having Josh McDaniels, too.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a big part
of it. Dialing up a good offense over there. Yeah. And another way to highlight that, it's inherently not a New England offense that is bad or say. It's just how do you execute it? Who are you putting in the system?
Exactly.
It's always how the system fits with what you are doing and the innovations that you have. All right, we continue with some football talk here on Sports Radio 610, which is presented by Paramount Plus. Streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus, that's Sunday, it's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, and it's featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. That's Landman, and the new season is streaming Sunday, November 16th, only on Paramount Plus. I found this to be very intriguing here, John Lopez, as the NFL team owners apparently filed a grievance to stop something that I personally have gotten great enjoyment of getting on a yearly basis, which is the NFL Players Association's report cards that they put out. The league apparently claims that the report cards, which is a poll of the players on various aspects of working conditions for the players, violates a CBA clause that they say that NFL owners and the union must, quote, use reasonable efforts to curtail public comments by club personnel or players which express criticism of any club, its coach, or its operation and policy. So
blah blah blah.
The clause itself does sound like it applies to it. This just feels like how you're not going to win this. No, ain't nobody trying to hear this, right? In the court of public opinion, at the very least.
Well, here's how I would defend it. So they're saying you're not supposed to say anything bad about the owners, basically.
Not in public, right? Bring this to us. We can work this in house.
Here's my defense. Who said it?
I mean, it's part of the CBA.
No, name the person.
Oh, well, the Players Association.
Who?
The Players Association.
Who's that?
The players.
Who's on first? No, my point is like the spirit of the, and I think not even the spirit, I think the, that rule or whatever they want to call it is about criticism levied against them. Criticism by the president of the NFLPA or a player or a coach or something like that. Well, coach doesn't matter. It doesn't fit. But you see what I'm saying? Like this was a survey. This was a survey.
Yeah, but I mean, in a way, here's the thing that's funny. Is it's basically speaking to criticism. It's not inherently a critique if things are going well, right?
This is true.
These things become critiques when you see them F's pop up, right? I think that we've seen the teams that have handled this best are teams that acknowledge, oh, wow, this is a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And then they address it. And it ends up actually being positive for those team owners.
The ones that did well.
That handled it in those way, right? Yeah. The NFLPA obviously pushed back on this and, you know, noted instances where teams saw it and they were able to respond. Apparently, the NFLPA said, we responded to the grievance with our intention to fight against this action and continue what's clearly become an effective tool for comparing workplace standards across the league.
Thank you. Yes.
And equipping you to make informed career decisions. And I've got to agree, like, as much as I'm normally going to be on the labor side anyways, that does make sense as a comeback when it comes to, like, there's not a standard for how you equip any team for going out and winning. Like, you would have to depend on NFL owners to just have a competitive drive to have better accommodations or similar accommodations to other places in the league.
Yeah.
This is a way to kind of compare it on a one-to-one scale. And again, the best owners use this as a tool as opposed to seeing this as derision.
Yeah, that's what the Menares did, because remember, I think it was last season. The
hot tub or something?
The hot tub thing. They didn't.
Is it the hot tub or sauna?
One of them.
Yeah, it was one of them. And then right away they say, oh, we about to put one in now. Thank you for letting us know.
This whole thing is about fragile egos and fragile pride. They don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
I wonder if the Chiefs owner is probably one of those, because I think they got a really bad grade on one at one last year.
Yeah.
And I wonder if teams like that's kind of like, man, don't put our business out there like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see. I'm very intrigued to see how this goes, because I think a lot of people on the outside looking in would probably side with the PA, but that's not always how this thing goes. And if you talk about the power dynamics, the owners have a lot of power here. So I'm interested to see if that will weigh heavily in what ultimately happens with the grievance. I'll try and keep an eye on that.
Fragile egos. That's all it is.
I mean, sure. Yeah. But I understand how you spend a lot of money and then having people complain about what you put up here. I can understand that perspective to some degree. All right. This is something that I saw that was kind of interesting to me personally. I'm interested to see how you get this. Apparently, before I even get there, one of the things I absolutely love about anything in sports, or really I think this probably applies to life, is as soon as somebody leaves, you get to hear what people really think about them. And apparently with the Giants, former Giants head coach Brian Daboll, quote, exploded and threatened offensive coordinator, now interim head coach Mike Kafka, during the team's recent loss to the Eagles, according to an anonymous player. Quote, one player recently told ESPN of Daboll exploding and threatening to take away play calling from assistant head coach and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka after tight end Theo Johnson dropped a crucial third down pass downfield against the Eagles. This is the kind of finger-pointing and tantrum-throwing that is exactly why the Giants moved on from Brian Daboll.
Yeah, and anybody who's seen him, especially with the going into the tent and all that stuff when Scataboo had the
hit,
you're like, ah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he be exploding on players on the sideline at times.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
What was it, the guy that kind of messed up? I don't know if it was like a kick return or he messed up something.
Yeah.
And he was just tearing into him.
Doesn't surprise me.
It don't surprise me at all.
Yeah, but the idea of like having a toxic working environment, that's real nasty business. If for no other reason, then those are things that you better be great to make it work. It's one of the things I always think about with Bill Belichick and his time, and then tenure in the league, and then all of his all of the people off his tree that would go and coach somewhere.
Yeah,
it's like you can't come in here and do Bill Belichick things without Bill Belichick.
Bill O'Brien
results.
Tried it.
Because you saw that here, right? You don't have the skin in the game. You don't have the equity in order to make this walk.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's exactly what's happening. We're here with Brian Daboll, but he's in that same vein. And you end up looking up and you go, yeah, man, it just creates a bad situation. And when you're losing games, that people aren't going to willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, because they don't like how they work.
And it goes back to what we've mentioned a few times. If you're going to be that, you better not only just be, you know, a winner, you better be well liked. You know, you better have a good personality. You got to be good with the media, all that stuff, because it'll come back to bite you, and it's coming back to bite him. And there's nothing wrong. We all know. Hell, they may have had the discussions here. Discussions are being made about who should be doing what, right? Whether it's play calling or whatever. But like that, yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. So yeah. It became more of an interest to me, as I don't think people are sticking with this thought, but people were having thoughts like, is that an OC that you would want? I do wonder if, especially coming off of the Bobby Slowick tenure, with kind of the things that we had afterwards about feeling like he did not have enough of a collaborative aspect, if that doesn't taint the way that you view Brian Daboll in any next job that he gets.
It has to, right?
As well, I would imagine so, but you never know how these things go. Around the NFL, before we walk this thing away here, there's a lot of intriguing football games this weekend, John Lopez.
Oh, I think it's the best weekend of football we've had all year.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead and state the case then,
Big O. Remember we used to talk about five-star games and four-star games and all that? I mean, I see at least 2 5-star games, maybe 3.
Okay, what are the 5-star games for you?
Seahawks-Rams?
Seahawks-Rams is a banger.
That is a banger.
That is a banger. The team that is rivaling the Texans for fewest points allowed at this point in the season is that LA Rams defense. And
I think it's a great weekend for football.
You put on top of that, this offense has been really good. Yeah. That could be very
Stafford
good.
Against that defense. And I think Lions-Eagles.
Yeah.
Lions-Eagles is an interesting one.
That's a 5-star game, baby. With everything that's on the line now, for the 8-2 Eagles, I say everything on the line. And then the Lions doing what they're doing. I think that's a big-time game.
Yeah, but one of the things that's interesting that I hadn't considered until I was thinking about it deeper, you realize Dan Campbell took over responsibility, play-calling duties offensively at a very particular time, which is the week that they played the Washington Commanders. Mm-hmm. The Washington Commanders' defense is very bad.
Yeah.
That is a defense that in their past 4 games, I believe, they've been outscored by 20 points.
Yeah, and I saw that stat, which has never really happened in whatever many years.
Well, if they lose by 20-plus points again this weekend versus the Miami Dolphins in Madrid, Spain, they would tie a record. Yeah. It would be like record-breaking of consecutive games being beaten to an absolute pulp
right
in games. And I'm interested to see, because we were talking about it. I know I was saying it. Mm-hmm. Lions looked like they might have done something with Dan Campbell taking over play calling. How much of that was just a really smart positioning?
Yeah.
I'm now the dude who's taking over play calling against a very bad defense. Look, I have fixed it, right? Is that actually the case?
Now who you facing?
Is that actually the case? Yeah. So that will be another game that I'm intrigued in. But I think you're right. There's some really good games that are on the schedule here.
A couple more that I wouldn't necessarily put 5-star, but they're up there. Bucks and Bills, man. Bucks and Bills is
100%.
Up there. 100%. Chiefs and Broncos. You know, what are the Chiefs? The Broncos defense. Broncos with, Bo Nix in the offense. I mean, they're – and the good news is the vast majority of these games are after the Texans play.
Yeah.
So you can sit back, watch the Texans, and then you get little Seahawks-Rams, little Chiefs-Broncos, and then the nightcap is Lions-Eagles.
Yeah,
good Sunday.
Yeah, it should be a really good Sunday, and it'll be even better Sunday if the Texans do what they are supposed to do in getting a victory versus the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. You'll, be able to hear that here on Sports Radio 610 at noon. 9 a.m. is when you tune in to get your Texans countdown going with Sean and Seth. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, is there any way back from the gambling situation, as there's another big-time gambling operation happening within the world of sports? Can this be fixed in sports? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's indeed a Football Friday, and it's Football Friday music here in the loop. A little bit of I Want to Know by Joe happening as we head into another segment on a Football Friday. Appreciate you rocking with us. The reason why Figgy Fig is playing this is because The Texans are playing this. It's Football Friday music, not because we decided, but because someone at the Texans decided. This was a shout out to Jonathan Alexander doing his Capital J journalism on this day. This apparently was playing in the
salute
bubble.
Salute to J.A., man.
While they was working. While they
the
were
NMA
working
probably don't know anything about this.
Wow.
Man.
You think DJ don't know about no joke?
100%, man. He's a young buck.
But that's not just about being a young buck. In that way, that's an indictment of his parents. You think his parents don't?
Yeah, I don't think he know nothing
wow.
about this, man.
I'm going to hit him up. I'm going to ask him. What do you know
He don't
about
know
Joe?
Anything past 2000 or before 2010.
Wow, that's crazy.
Shots fired. Wow. Right there.
By the way, who do you think had Joe on aux cord? Because I don't feel like it's dudes on the team, right? This had to be
D'Amico?
The coaches. Someone on, I feel like D'Amico might have Joe on his playlist.
I can
somewhere.
See him in a little R&B.
Yeah. Didn't he say that once when he was talking about his in the offseason about his music with Vandermeer on Texans?
Oh,
well,
let me write that down. I will go to research.
You got to find that.
Yeah. I need to know who.
I think he talked about it once.
I want to know who decided the Football Friday.
Because this was around during his time.
Hell yeah.
Going into the weekend, like, you know what? We're not just playing 90s music. We're playing 90s.
We need some
R&B.
Good vibes. Yo. We ain't playing no NBA YoungBoy and all that stuff. No Rod Wave.
Has anybody gotten a pulse of what the dudes in the locker room listen to for real, for real?
No, but we need to get the Friday playlists in advance.
Oh, okay. I'm going to.
Figgy, we can do that.
Yeah.
We can get the Friday playlist in advance, and then as they're playing it, we're playing
I want to find out
keeping
who's
the
playing the music, though.
That's I think it might change.
Because in training camp, I think they had somebody randomly just putting a playlist together. But not to quote Joe, but I want to know who's playing. I want to know who's playing this music.
Yeah. He said, I want to know who's got the aux. All right. Some more important notes from practice. And this is also per Jonathan Alexander, at least where I'm seeing it. CJ Stroud and Petrie still in concussion protocol, and they have not reached the steps to practice yet. Even with this being more of a walkthrough on a Friday, as it typically is, that one hit me squarely in the chest.
It should. It absolutely should. This is just simply the way it works sometimes. And we've all seen this happen. There are so many different levels of concussion. You know, there are concussions where the guy's back relatively soon. Whatever, there are some concussions that players and feel the effects for weeks, you know, maybe all season. There's something, you know, they always say it just didn't feel right, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The first person I thought about was Henry Toa, who when he
all
had
year long
concussion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, I think his wife posted a video of him watching the game with glasses on.
Yeah,
he had some special type of sunglasses on, so it could be a concussion somewhat like that where he got
sent
in the dark.
I'm not saying it is, but it, you know, that report that he's still in the protocol, you know, is like you said, Reggie, just it ain't great.
And I will lean on Jonathan Alexander, who says technically there's four more opportunities to get two practices in because, of course, you need two practices in clearing the various different levels of protocol. But that would have to imagine – I'd have to imagine that that would mean – that those guys are close so that they can get those practices in before a Thursday night football game?
I was just going to say, it's a Thursday night game.
They'll still have a couple of practices. When he said four opportunities.
So they play Sunday. Monday, they're probably going to scratch their off day or do it like a half day and do meetings and film and stuff.
But for taking
and
off
really
boxes, that might be useful.
That's just
for them.
Tuesday and Wednesday. And maybe even a light win. It's just Tuesday, really.
Yeah. So, and yeah, Ray, last time CJ had a concussion, he was out two games. I hear you. This isn't about him being out. We know he's going to be out for this game. Mm-hmm. It's the situation that he's not even, he's not cleared the protocol yet. Now, of course, we don't know where he is in the protocol. Like, maybe he's on the final steps of the protocol where but he hasn't practiced it all. So that's at least two practices that he still needs to get in in order to be cleared and ready to go play football. So, obviously not trying to look past the Titans game, but this does have impact on the Bills game, not just on one side, on the other, right? With Jaden Petrie possibly not playing, although as Seth makes mention of, the little musical chairs that they like doing where you might put Kamari Lassiter in on slot might be tenable with the Bills, seeing as the biggest threat that they have on the is on the interior with Khalil Shakir as a slot guy. So those are things that are there for you. But yeah, those are some notes. Also, I believe Dalton Schultz was seen with his helmet at practice, which I imagine is probably a good thing. Him and Harrison Bryant have missed the first couple of practices this week. Cade Stover's still practicing in his active window, but he's still technically on IR, so maybe on Saturday we end up seeing him.
And they would have to make a move.
But yeah, those are all things that are happening tight end-wise as we continue to watch and head towards Nashville. All right. One of the things that popped up again, we've been watching a lot of gambling news happen in the world of sports right now. And just this morning, or just yesterday, actually, another instance as 14, count them, 14 people were charged for roles in a multi-million dollar illegal sports betting ring that involved college athletes this time. So we've seen basketball coaches and former players get hemmed up in this. We've seen baseball players in a somewhat different scheme because obviously that's that was with the Dominican Republic, but seemingly some level of organized crime there. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, again, New Jersey organized crime. So this is a lot more akin to what we saw with the basketball situation. According to the authorities, Joseph Perna, a member of the Lucchese crime family.
That's been around for 100 years.
So they've got a lot of experience, a lot of institutional knowledge here. And his associates ran a nationwide network of bookmakers who use offshore websites to facilitate approximately $2 million in bets between 2022 and 24. So the NCAA is aware of the charges. They're looking into it. But this is tapped in with college, which, I mean, in history, college has been one of those places where, you know, some gambling things have happened. College basketball gambling has happened. Yep. You know, gambling scandals have happened. But the larger question I want to ask outside of this particular one, we're seeing this at all sorts of different levels, all tapped in and with seemingly organized crime. Is this something that can be fixed? Because we saw baseball kind of try and limit prop bets. NFL is talking about right now doing something similar. And those all feel like Band-Aids at best. Is there any way back, or did we open a door to Pandora's box that can never be closed?
There is no way this will be fixed. Zero chance. It couldn't be fixed when it was illegal and they frowned upon it. And they were, you know, you could lose your job or lose your scholarship and never play again and be blackballed and all this other stuff. There is no way. I mean, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it. And the other part of this that is just really, you talk about, you know, the discussion you really want to have, the discussion that I think is really intriguing is you've made such an easy path for organized crime to expand their market. You've done it. You've expanded their market.
Which is
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Funny because, you know, it would have. I understand what you're saying because now you have more people that have been.
Oh, it's legal.
Gateway into it.
Yes.
But the thought process I imagine was, you legalize this and you cut those folks out of this because why do the illegal gambling when you could just do the legal gambling?
Yeah.
And the thought process seems to hold that. Mm-hmm. Hey, okay, yeah, people will go and they'll legalize it. You know, you'll have your taxation on it and it'll be all fine and good. That's not how this has played out. And so it really feels like that step might have been a really terrible one, especially because, as you mentioned, not only did this not eradicate those, you know, nefarious areas, the dark shadows of this, it's kind of bolstered it in a weird way.
You've expanded the market because it's still frowned upon, especially, you know, certain types of bets and such. But these wise guys and these contacts can go to players and coaches and staff and everything else and say, hey, man, it's legal. We're making legal bets. You just can't, you know, you know, we'll do it for you, you know, and it's just the temptation is bigger. Also the temptation for, you know, let's say you're a professional or a college athlete.
Thanks, man. And you think I'm that good?
This is an imaginary world, but let's say you're a college athlete. You have friends everywhere that can make legal bets. So it's easier for you to do it. Like, and not only that, but the market of gambling and the gambling outlets and sort of the stamp of approval, you're giving them everything they wanted, you know?
Yeah, And the thing that has stuck with me, we've mentioned this a few times when we've had these conversations as the evidence and these stories continue to mount, is, man, it was always, when it came to banning gambling, about the integrity of the game and the perceived integrity of the game, because people were not going to buy in to these products if they don't feel like fair competition.
Right.
We're seeing more and more things that feel like they gnaw at and maybe just entirely slice at the integrity of these games. Mm-hmm. And I go, is this set to crumble at some point? Or is this to a point where the gambling actually kind of sustains itself, because whether it's the integrity is there or not, the fiend, like the mm-hmm. nature of having that gambling addiction is going to continue to feed people buying into this stuff.
Well, the answer to that for me is, where are the safeguards? The safeguards right now is a lot of lip service. Don't do that. And they're shaking their forefinger at you. But then they're, you know, speaking of hypocrisy, of all the gambling outlets and such that are, and let's face it, you know, as much as Las Vegas is not necessarily run entirely by the mob anymore, there is a big mob presence. And these gambling outlets, whether it's, you know, any of these that we see advertised on all these networks, they're on the up and up, air quotes. There is still a seedy element there, which leads to the point of integrity of the game and affecting it. You know?
Yeah. And when I say, is there any way to go back? The most obvious part of this is like taking the money, the gambling money out of this and not having, because I see somebody saying, I'm tired of having the gambling shoved down my throat. There's just so much money that having that there is going to be there. Like, I just feel like
it's out. Like I said, toothpaste.
You can't
put it back in.
You can't take it out of there. And I think, as you established, it's so much a part of the culture of watching sports now. Hell, I'm somebody who I'm not a big gambler. You know this about me.
Yeah.
I'm still quoting lines to try and have some level of understanding of as to what's happening with these games. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's become so pervasive in it that it is part and parcel of what these sports are. And that's the thing that scares me more, is I would not be nearly as afraid for like the lifeblood of sports with all this if it's just like, all right, well, my bad, we made a wrong turn, we can change.
Yeah.
This is going to be a part of it. And the thing that I wonder is, does this eventually end up, you know, does this walk sports to a place where sports no longer holds the same impact in our life, or are we just so intertwined that we're just going to go with it anyway? We're just all going to also have a level of disdain, or maybe that's not the right word, but
no, I know where you're going with this.
We're all just going to be very skeptical and cynical towards sports as we do it.
I do agree. I think, you know, sports is never going to go away, never going to be bigger, and in fact is only going to get bigger. But ask your if you're in your car, if you're sitting at home, sitting in your office, just ask the next person you see, Do you think sports are affected and outcomes are affected by gambling? Yes, yes, yes. Everybody will say it. At some level, sports are affected by gambling, right? Hell, you just gave, we just talked about the injury report. Do you know why they have to give injury reports in the first place? Gambling. And even before, 25 years ago or 20 years ago, whenever it started, it's mandatory. And they're like, oh, you know, so the teams will know about the, you know, what to prepare for. No, it's gambling. It's gambling. The reason why do they put these point spreads out there? And now you're getting the stamp of approval. Like I said, I think a lot of people are skeptical. A lot of people are cynical. And I think most people would agree that there are games that we watch every week that are affected by gambling. The outcome is affected by gambling.
And that's the belief there. I see you, 832, saying legal bets and fixing bets are totally different. I'm not saying that legal bets are in the same vein there. There's a through line, though. It's the larger prevalence of gambling in our sports makes it so that people go, hey, if we fix this, this gives us an opportunity to garner, you know, pull out more money from the situation. It's one of those things where I'm not trying to vilify like the actual gambling, but you can't deny that the continued growth of this has made this more prevalent. Or there may be an argument, though, that the continued growth of this and the amount of investment that the books have in this has made it so that they're finding more of the gambling and the fixing that's happening in it, because those companies are invested in making sure that people aren't doing nefarious things.
Yeah.
But another big gambling scandal popping up in sports, this one tapping into the college ranks. It's wild to see, and we'll have to continue to watch to see what it means and what it how it impacts the sports that we love so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. The Rockets have a couple of interesting games this weekend, but also, did the baseball voters get this right? I want to get your opinion on this, John Lopez, and we'll do that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Football Friday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, starting with the fact that the Fellas of the Drive will be out at the Boomer Jacks in Webster for their Football Friday festivities. If you're nearby, go ahead and pop out, see the fellas. You know that they never come empty-handed. There's all sorts of giveaways that'll be there that you show up and sign up for, or, you know, sign up for the raffle, I guess, the way that you say. But Boomer Jack's a real solid place to eat as well. And so go eat, drink, hang out, see the
poppin' area. Webster's a poppin' area.
Is
very,
it?
Very underrated.
Okay,
yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
And if this means anything to you, I think I might pop out as well to go see the fellas. I feel like I have a bad habit of popping out when the fellas are on the west side, southwest side. And I don't necessarily pop out when they're east, northeast, things like that. So I'm trying to expand a little bit.
Go down to Webster, man. Yeah, smell that salt air. It's
that's
good
right
for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. 100%. All right. Yeah. Some other things that are popping this weekend should be fun for your Houston Rockets. It's just generally fun watching the Houston Rockets. A little mini confessions before we get to our confessions.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rockets might be boring in the best way for me.
That's an interesting take.
Right? Like, the reason why I say that is, going into, like, these games, they have the game against Portland tonight. It's an Emirates NBA Cup game.
Mm-hmm.
The game number two of that tournament, they have an opportunity to get their first win on the board. Then they'll have Orlando this weekend on Sunday. And mind you, KD bobbleheads will be on offer on Sunday. But I look at both of those games and I go, I don't know how much I have to learn from those. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think that when I say boring that way, the Rockets kind of feel like I'm starting to feel what they are. There's not a lot of the games on the schedule where I go, I think there's something interesting to learn here about the team. It might just be, all right, let's see what the team puts up here and have fun with it. So when I say boring, I don't inherently mean like not fun, but just not in a place where I'm like, oh, I'm learning something at any given turn.
It's still early enough in the season. We're still intrigued by, you know, how they play things. And I think Ime Udoka and the entire Rockets, you know, coaching staff is still trying to kind of parse out the puzzle comes
together. Yeah. So maybe I'm a little early on that stance, but I think that I can see it coming where they might be getting there. However, a couple of good games, not bad teams. Orlando doesn't score very well, but that's a solid team there. And then Portland, it's not a bad team, I'll say, but the Rockets have looked really, really good, third in net rating in the league. And of course, like I said, big time opportunity to get that NBA Cup victory. And if you don't mind, you just get out there and go see that nice red NBA Cup board, baby.
Figgy, have you seen it?
I didn't see the
Get your eyes ready.
Oh, boy. It is red.
You might need to wear some blue light blockers or something.
Is it worse than the Minnesota one?
Yeah,
that Minnesota one was lime green.
They did use the green.
Yeah.
It looks like they have descended into hell. And I don't mean that like as any level of moral judgment. It's just really, is really red.
It's real red.
Is really aggressively red.
It's gonna. I'll put it this way. Tonight, when you're watching that game, go on Twitter. You're gonna be able to see a lot of commentary about the Rockets.
I see it now.
Yeah.
It kind of look fly. It do kind of look like they playing in hell or something.
Yeah, it does.
Like a cartoon or something.
Yeah.
Which those the Portland Trail Blazers will feel like they're in some level of hell facing off against this Rockets team. Should be a fun one tonight, 7 p. I don't know if this has any level of national broadcast associated with it. Now that I think about it, I'll check that before I say something out of pocket. All right, some other things that are popping. Yes, indeed, the MLB awards continue to roll in, and we know who the MVPs are, the most valuable players. We will start with John Lopez's favorite, Figgy Fig. Do you know who won NL MVP?
Let's go, Dodgers!
There you go. That's it. I know John Lopez was excited yesterday at Shohei Ohtani.
I'm surprised you didn't wear your shirt, man.
The one you gave me? I wear that shirt at night. It's comfortable. Yeah, it is. But
wait, did we just learn about your nighttime gear?
Yeah, gym shorts and a t-shirt. Who doesn't wear that?
You really love Ohtani.
Yeah, I sleep in it. No, I don't. It was kind of, speaking of boring, I don't know how deserved, you know, obviously the AL MVP.
Well, we'll get there in a second.
But for him to do it four times now?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I was going to get there. I don't know. Did you see any of the award presentation here?
No, contrary to what Figgy believes, I did not.
Okay. All right. You would if you had more TVs.
He had a watch party.
Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies was second. Yeah. He had a fantastic season, obviously swinging the bat. And then I believe it was second place votes for Juan Soto and I believe Geraldo Perdomo, but Soto and Kyle Schwarber, I believe, were the top three when it came to finalists. And if you just see the split screen with them three, those two were looking like, why y'all wasting my time?
Yeah, they were.
Like, you could see them.
Everyone knew.
You could see them. It was just like, yeah. Come on, man. What are we doing here? He is a unanimous winner, fourth MVP in 5 years. And think about it. Remember, he's the first player in Major League history to win multiple MVPs in either league.
Yeah, 2-2. Yeah.
And he would have won five consecutive MVPs if it wasn't for that 62 home run season, right? Like, Aaron Judge hit 62, and that was like, yo, we got to do this.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, it would have been Shohei. Like, we are watching a level of dominance that's kind of crazy.
You probably will never see again with what he did. No, it was no surprise. Although I will say, when Paul Skenes won the NL Cy Young, he was just kind of like, cool. I think it was just his personality.
Did you see what they were doing with the NL Cy Young party? Skenes and his, obviously, are they fiancé, girlfriend? Yeah. I don't know where they are at this point, but his significant other.
His old lady.
Yeah. His old lady. There we go. I love that one. Olivia Dunn. I feel weird calling her Livy. I feel like I'm too old to be calling her.
I call her Livy.
I know you do. Olivia Dunn. They was eating hot dogs at the party.
Yeah, they were. Like,
they had a hot dog glizzy machine. Yeah, they had the glizzy machine with the rollers and stuff, and I was like, is that ho-hum?
No, you like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Do you?
That kind of show your personality a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Bit.
And so did his facial. He was like, little golf clap, you know?
That man's ready to be out of Pittsburgh. I tell you that for
damn sure. So ready to get out of Pittsburgh.
Go play somewhere that matters.
Good luck.
He likes the city, just hates the team.
There you go. Just like all the rest of us. By the way, you bringing that up did make me think of something that I had forgotten with that segment. Maybe I'll make that my confession or something. But the AL MVP was something that, outside of the NL MVP, the NL Cy Young, was one that we weren't sure which way it would go. Ultimately, it went to the Yankee. Aaron Judge prevailed over Cal Raleigh as the AL MVP. And the explanations I found to be fascinating. The Athletic actually put up a piece detailing some of the voters.
Chandler Rome did it.
Chandler Rome put it. He was in there as well, talking about how he made his decision. And he talked about how he likes utilizing his access to players by asking a lot of players, you know, what they value, what are the things that they're thinking. Some of them would talk about statistics and everything. But then ultimately you look at some player voting things and you end up with Cal Raleigh. Do you feel like they got it right with Aaron Judge getting 17 first place votes, Cal Raleigh getting 13 first place votes, and then the second place votes going vice versa?
No.
Do you think that the voters got it right of Aaron Judge being the AL MVP over Cal Raleigh, who had the historic catcher season?
I actually don't. I'm in the place where, what do you, you know, talk about how you would judge it if I were a voter. The number one thing is like, what does Cal Raleigh have to do? What do I got to do to win an MVP? And I think the kicker for me, and this was a common refrain for the people who did vote for Cal Raleigh, the dude plays, not only does he play the position and hit like he did, he plays catcher and hits like he did.
And that's, know,
that to me would have been the trump card.
Well, that's interesting because I think if you did look at it, outside of home runs, and I believe maybe one other stat, every other statistic, advanced or otherwise, pointed towards Aaron Judge. But that's the question I ask. How much do you value that catcher position multiplier that seemingly exists with some folks, like it seems like yourself?
I actually thought it would be a slam dunk for Cal Raleigh. That's how much I value it, because it's not just the physical rigors of playing catcher. You're calling the game, or at least you're a big part of calling the game. You're helping your pitchers. And so you are a complete defensive player, literally on every pitch. Literally on every pitch. And then you're hitting 60 home runs? To me, I thought it'd be a slam dunk for Cal Raleigh. I really did.
Yeah.
Literally, it's like the quarterback, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. Like the idea of a more advanced or, you know, a more intensive position. But it was like home runs a catcher was the whole big story. I get how Aaron Judge ultimately gets it with all the various different metrics. And you know me, I love metrics. I do feel bad for Cal Raleigh.
Yeah.
What do I have to do? But
literally have my hands on the ball every play.
Yeah.
Every pitch.
Yeah, I feel you. So, but that's ultimately where it goes. It ends up being Aaron Judge who gets that. And a fair addition. Screw Aaron Judge. Screw the Yankees. Screw the Mariners too. Fair enough. Fair enough. If that's ultimately your comeback,
and that's where
this,
we land. And screw them all.
Oh man, look, we got our pound of flesh. We ultimately got a Gold Glover, and then you got a top three Cy Young candidate. You got yourself some
sweet
extra
suit,
picks.
That Dubon wore at the awards.
I missed it.
Or not the awards, where it was when he was announced. He was somewhere. had like a red velvet, you know, little suit working. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Look, if there's one thing, I know Dubon's got some style and some flair to him, and happy that obviously he came away with another another Gold Glove award. So there you go. That's what's popping here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Excited for the weekend that will be here with sports just in general, but especially for the Texans. And let's talk more about the Texans. Like we mentioned, they're out at practice. Some guys made their way back, but maybe the biggest thing is that CJ and Jalen Petrie both still have not cleared concussion protocol. So we're very intrigued as to what that means, and we'll see. I was like, I don't even know what information we'll have on Monday by the time we're back on air. It's going to be a mad dash to see if they can clear the protocol for Thursday night football for them. All right, coming up next, though, let's play a little Would You Rather headed into this Titans game when it comes to Texans outcomes. Would You Rather coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.